do you scissor in your actual homes?
There is a whoppy hump that happens.
A whoppy hump. I'm dying.
We could designate that as scissoring.
I can't disagree with whoppy hump.
Hashtag whoppy hump.
Dickie, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. I'm Nikki Levy, and welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother, where your favorite humans in the world tell a true story they'd never want their moms to know, and then we call their mothers. We have a great show for you today. We have the ladies from the hit podcast, Scissoring Isn't a Thing, hosted by Darren Karp and Liz Cully, where they take on pop culture through a queer lens. Now, something that is really cool about this podcast is that Darren is a longtime employee, a confidant of Andy Cohen. And Andy Cohen, as we all know, right, created the Real Housewives empire. And me and Liz and Darren talk about why so many gay men love reality TV. I can't really weigh in on this because A, I'm not a gay man, and B, admittedly, I don't like reality TV. But I brought on my friend Jake Anthony, aka Poodle, from the podcast Reality Gaze, and he dissects reality TV for a living. Jake, thank you for coming and answering this
very important burning question. Happy to help you in your gay emergency. Your this gay emergency.
SOS.
I would also argue you're pretty close to a gay man.
Thank you for seeing the gay in me. I see the gay
yes.
in you.
Quite homosexual man. I can see it in your eyes.
I feel it. Okay. So what is it about reality TV that, you know, blows your dress up?
That's graphic, but it's true. What's so queer or LGBT slanted about reality shows is everything is supposed to be, quote unquote, I'm using these quote fingers now,
yes,
real, but it's not. It's extremely fabricated. So it's like drag. Everything is performative.
Oh my God. Jake, this is crazy because let me just say, Jake didn't hear this episode yet that you all are going to listen to, but that's what we talk about. That we talk, because the other piece I wanted to ask you is, what is it about some icons like a Liza Minnelli or a Cher or a Beyonce that they become such gay icons? What makes someone a gay icon? And what we talked about was the performative. But I want to know what you think.
Yeah.
I want to know your thoughts, though.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big, big idea. It's the reason why we see drag queens and this kind of exaggerated femininity.
Yeah.
Everything about reality shows is exaggerated, which is strange because it's trying to be real. That's one of the reasons why we love how documentary these shows are, but at the same time, a lot of the housewife shows and those of their ilk, it's the performative aspects and how those women don't even act like women anymore. It's all like they are drag queens. It's all drag culture. It is an indictment of heterosexual culture, and that's why we love it.
Oh, fuck. Jake, thank you for being here.
Of course. Anytime I can help, we can talk about gay reality. I'm here.
I love it. We'll be back with Scissoring Isn't a Thing right after this.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello! I'm so happy to be here with you both.
I mean,
I put on lipstick for you, Nikki, and Liz knows that never happens. Like, I usually show up to these podcasts like after a workout, like with my acne medication on, and Liz looks like a goddess that she is. So this is the best you're going to get today for me. And we did it for you. So.
I'm impressed. You look adorable. This is Darren talk. Darren, you always wear great t-shirts. Liz,
Thank you.
Look like you stepped out of a place that I probably can't pronounce.
She's a glamazon. Right.
A glamazon. I mean, Nikki, you already showed us your boobs. So I feel like this is going to be the best interview ever.
I didn't show you my boobs. I can show you my boobs now.
Well, now the podcast. Okay. Now the podcast can start.
For those people who live under gay rocks, rainbow rocks, you guys have an awesome podcast. My shirt is still up. You guys have an awesome podcast called Scissoring Isn't a Thing. Just give the log line of it so folks know.
It's an LGBTQ plus based podcast with Liz and I. Liz is a bisexual. I am a gay woman. So we are giving a pop culture spin through a queer female perspective. We have guests on every week. And in the top of the show, we usually have a friend or a colleague come on and we kind of break down, you know, things that have happened in pop culture that week.
How did you guys come up with the name of this podcast?
Well,
Darren and I were put together sort of on like a blind date by a straight woman who just assumed that we would get along because we were
a
both
friendship
queer.
One, though, because Liz is married and I had a girlfriend at the
time. Right.
So,
right. Darren is the gay who has a girlfriend.
Yes,
Liz
correct.
Is the bi who has a wife. Do you call your wife your wife?
I do call her my wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people like husband. Who knows? Okay.
Husband. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
No, I just like go old school wife, you know. So anyway, we get to the lunch and Darren grabs my hands at some point and is like, there's no way you fuck women with those. And I was like, hey, girl, I've never had complaints. And then we kind of started to talk about all the stupid stereotypes that people say to us, really kind of, I mean, really leading, really assuming things. One of which, of course, is scissoring a thing, which I think all, you know, well, not all. I don't want to speak in generalizations.
A lot of people, though.
A lot of people
think. Do people really ask that question?
All the time.
Do you guys scissor in your sex life?
No, I don't think it's a thing. Liz thinks it's a thing. That's why we argue about it.
It's not, is it a thing or isn't it a thing? It's more like, is it a thing that two women who are practicing, I don't want to say lesbian because I know you identify as bi, but like.
That's fine. Honestly, okay. I don't care about labels. You can call me a lesbian.
I just mean like,
for all
so you two who are in relationships, I mean, I'm married. I'll speak to this also. Do you scissor in your actual homes?
I think there's a scissoring element to sex that
okay.
happens.
Okay.
Yes, but
okay.
we have modified this over the year that we've sort of been together that I think scissoring, people are viewing it like, you know, two scissors kind of coming together.
Two vaginas coming together.
Just bumping labias, right?
Bumping clams.
Like, bumping clams. Thank you, Nikki.
Bumpers,
you are on my side of this. Liz is upset with both of us right now. We have sort of amended this to being like, there is a whoppy hump that happens.
A whoppy hump. I'm dying. Okay, go ahead.
A whoppy hump that happens, which we could designate that as scissoring. Liz, back me up here.
I can't disagree.
Whoppy hump.
Whoppy hump.
Hashtag
whoppy
hump. Whoppy
hump.
Can I add to this?
Yeah.
Yes.
All my years. I would never call it scissoring because I feel like, so I don't know whose side this is, but because I feel like you're right. That is like an old school term that a straight person would ask about. You're right. It has like a, it has like a stank on it. Not a pussy stank, just a stank. But like, but in terms of like vagina contact, oh yes. Yes.
Right. Well, and I guess
touch vaginas. Yeah. Yes, that happens.
And vagina to vagina, I think that's just a very nice combination.
Yeah, me as well.
I'm a fan. Yes,
I'm a fan.
I get front row tickets as often as I can to that type of activity. Season passes, if you will. Yes.
And Darren, I hope it's okay that I say this, and please correct me, but you are a little more, I don't know.
Masculine.
I would say you're a little more, I wouldn't say masculine. You're just a little bit more sporty than Liz.
She's sporty
more
spice.
Like glamorous.
I'm a chapstick lesbian, Nikki, and
you
Liz
are
is a lipstick lesbian, yes.
Liz, did you have trouble fitting in with gay women, queer women, whatever the hell you want to say, And Darren, did you have an easier time? Like, were you guys accepted?
Queer women do not talk to me. It was the it was worse than fourth grade Mean Girls. We recently just talked about it with on our podcast actually last week, where Darren went to go see the Lesbian Bar Project documentary in New York.
Right. And for those who don't know, the Lesbian Bar Project is about saving the remaining lesbian bars in the United States because they're basically all shutting down. And so you guys have a great episode with the woman who runs that project. Mm-hmm. And please check it out. Remind me of her name. I want to say it's Erica Rose. Okay.
And Darren and I talked at the top of the episode, like our experience with lesbian bars, and I was totally not welcomed in the LA lesbian scene at all. And they thought I was either not gay. They thought I got lost at the Brentwood Country Mart and took the wrong turn. And kept
you do
going
look
down.
Like you could go there after this. I'm just being honest, though.
She grew up as a debutante. That says everything you need to know, Nikki. That's all I'm going to say.
So I was really not accepted there, but I still see these groups of women that are still friends from kind of when I first started going out 10 years ago. And they wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't hit on me. The only women that would ever really, or identifying queer women that would hit on me kind of, were like super more butch identifying
lesbians. Right, because of that butch femme. They're sort of stuck on like, I'm butch, she's femme. Like that's how a gay relationship would look. Yeah.
Yeah, like that narrative. Yeah.
Darren, you work with our Lord and Savior, Andy Cohen.
Yes, I do.
And he, of course, created the Real Housewives franchise. And I need your thoughts on something. Why do you think the Real Housewives franchise is such a gay magnet? Like, maybe I should say a gay male magnet.
I think that gay men in general, as a general rule, obviously there's exceptions to this. I know plenty of gay guys that have never seen an episode of Housewives. But I think in general, it's like drag culture. It's like they love powerful women kind of, you know, behaving badly in some sort of way, but they're also very glamorous and very fabulous and very ostentatious. And so it lends itself to the same type of thing. Like housewives in reality are equivalent to like the Chers, the Celines, the Madonnas, the Lady Gagas in pop culture, like music world.
I am so glad you brought this up because I am actually fascinated by this. Why are men... Because I don't think lesbians are like this. Why are gay men so fascinated or drawn to like outspoken, like fabulous, eccentric women in power? Whether it's Joan Rivers, whether it's Bea Arthur. I mean, literally, right? Whether it's Cher, whether it's Madonna, like whether it's Beyonce. What is
it? But I would challenge you to look at the through line of all of those particular women. Because I don't think it's actually all outspoken, powerful
I think it's
women.
Hot, beautiful, rich, powerful women. I don't think it's Ellen. I don't think it's Jane Lynch. I don't think it's Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. I'm not saying that those women aren't attractive.
For the record, I would fuck them all.
But these are all lesbian women. You're bringing up all lesbian women.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are actually bringing up all lesbian women, which is interesting.
You brought up all lesbian women. And I think I brought up, not purposely, but all women who are straight.
I know. And that's why I said, think about who you're talking about right now. You're thinking of these like I'll just zero in on somebody like Cher, who is just like, you know, obviously, Darren, you pointed it out, rich, famous, fabulous, but like really performative. Same as Beyonce, same as Lady Gaga. It's a lot of like costumes. It's a lot of glamour, glare, Madonna. It's a lot of sexuality.
That's a great point.
But then at the same time, it's like, it's just so performative. It's not like it is real women. It doesn't feel like, anyway.
And I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with them being powerful. I think it has everything to do with fame and looks and money. I don't think that they're looking at like Marie Curie is like the head scientist or whatever and being like, wow, this woman's like really amazing. I think there's a reason. I don't think it's really all women. I think it's a very specific set of women that gay men are very into.
I get it, but then I could also think about my favorite TV show in the history of TV shows, which is The Golden Girls. And that is
The best. But also, I would say these are almost like, and I don't want to use the wrong word here.
You're going to say caricatures.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was literally what I was going to say. It's almost like bordering on drag.
You know, Liz?
I'm not just a pretty face.
I know you guys are used to being on, you know, my side of the interview table, but I'm not going to let you leave this podcast until you share a story with me. You both have to share something with me. Who wants to go first?
Go, Liz.
Well, I could. Here's two stories. You guys pick. I could tell you about how I almost died the first time I went on an internet date. Or I could tell you about the first time I ever hooked up with a woman ever in my life.
I mean,
life.
I feel like B.
Yeah. Tell us about a whoppy hump that you had.
Okay. This is a story about unexpected encounters at sea.
We'll be back with some hot girl on girl action right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There I was, everyone. 19 years old in San Francisco. And I'm born and raised in San Francisco for the listeners. I'm 19 years old. I'm in San Francisco. I've just come back from New York City where I was going to the New School. I'm at this like tiki restaurant in San Francisco that's iconic. And
just to end the story there, Liz. Tiki restaurant, we got it. We got the scene. We got the whole
story. And I'm at a friend of mine's mother's 60th birthday party. And it's called the Tonga Room. It's like in the Fairmont Hotel. It's ridiculous. So we're in there. It's completely ridiculous. I go to the bathroom and it's a private party, whatever. And I walk into the handicap stall because I'm a jerk and I like space when I go to the bathroom. But as I was going in, and I'm like 19, but whatever, I probably smoked a joint and drank a bunch of Mai Tais, who knows me. I get pushed behind me by this like woman. I would like early 40s woman. Remember, I'm 19. And I get pushed into the stall and she just throws me up against the wall and starts making out with me.
You like don't know somebody's this woman.
No, like somebody's mom, like or something. And I'm like, what the fuck? But okay, girl, I'm into this. We go back to the table. It's this long table of like four. It was actually two long tables of like 40 people each, like think banquet style. And I'm like looking around being like, did that just happen? This is so weird.
She didn't ask you, by the way, to kiss you, right? Was she like,
no,
she just planted one.
Doesn't even play. It's so weird, you guys. And I was just like, this is the craziest thing of all time. So I'm sitting at the table and she kind of she's at the other table and she keeps looking at me. And I'm sitting next to this guy who I don't know. And I was like, dude, the craziest thing just happened to me. This lady just like came in and made with me at the bar. He's like, you're full of shit. You're just a kid. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, dude, that happened. So I leave the party. I'm by myself. I see my friend. They're going to go off with their parents. At the time, I was living on my dad's boat in the San Francisco Marina,
casual,
which is totally illegal.
You were living on a boat?
I was living on a boat.
You heard that correctly.
Well, it was a 38-foot Bayliner, actually.
What is that? Is that a yacht? I don't even know.
It's like technically a yacht, yeah.
Liz!
So, but a 38-foot yacht is like...
Is small.
It was so it's two... Like
It's like a house. It's like it was two bedroom. I mean... Oh, no, I'm wrong. 38. What am I talking about, you guys? Not 38 feet. That's teeny
Seems
tiny.
Small.
It's
yeah.
tiny. 68 foot. Sorry. 68 foot yacht. It was two bedrooms, two bathrooms. Like I had like a shower. You know what I mean? I was like, well, whatever. I had a living room.
And you're
room.
Living rent free like, on the yacht.
Yeah,
I am,
like,
but it's
Tiburon.
No,
being
San
a
Francisco Bay. San Francisco Bay. But it's totally illegal to live on your boat. And it's also freezing cold, right? So I had like space heaters. It was nuts. Don't worry, guys. So I walk out. I'm waiting for a taxi cab, a DeSoto cab. And the woman comes out again and is like, hey, where are you going? And I wanted to be like, I'm fucking 19 years old. Like, who knows where I'm going? Like, what? She goes, let's go hang out. And I was like, yeah, girl, get in my DeSoto cab. And she's like, well, where do you live? And I'm like, you want to come back to my boat? Which seemed so crazy. She was impressed. We went back to the boat. Needless to say, I definitely did a lot. I knew exactly how to have lesbian sex. Like, I knew exactly what to do. It was.
Did you scissor?
Oh, girl, we did a whole lot more than scissoring.
You took this. Just want to be
40,
clear.
40-year-old woman.
One second. You took this stranger. You're 19. Had you ever kissed a woman before?
Well, I kissed girls like after swim practice when I was growing up.
Okay. Did you know you liked women?
Like, I had crushes on female celebrities, male celebrities. Like, I just, yeah, I think I did.
When you're taking a woman who's like twice your age back to your fucking houseboat, you have to be into women.
It was a yacht. It was not a houseboat, but thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So anyway, we go back. We totally have like all of this like crazy sex. I'm like, okay.
You went down on a strange woman?
I did.
Guys, I am so scared of that. Was it scary?
I think it was scary, but it was, I think I had mentioned it earlier. It's like, I knew exactly what to do. I think it was the first time in my life that I was really initiating and excited about sex. You know, I think I had, at that point, I mean, it was scary and I kind of like didn't know what I was doing, but it was the first time it didn't feel like sex was happening to me, but that I was like a participant.
That's
gay.
That's big. That's gay, but big.
And then she leaves and I get her phone number and I call her the next day because I'm like, I don't know what else, you know. And
a gentleman. You're a gentleman.
I am a gentleman. Exactly.
Yes.
Make sure she got home safe. And I called and you know what she said to me?
What?
Darren, it wasn't all rainbows. She's called me a faggot and said, don't ever fucking call me again, and hung up on me.
Do you know who this woman was? Like, was she the parent of someone? Or?
You could literally put her in front of me right now. I wouldn't even, I don't know. I've like blacked all that out in my memory. But I remember she was short. She had really big boobs, brown hair, and green eyes. That's what I remember.
So she was me.
Yeah.
And then how much later did you hook up with another woman? Because that's a major like first time.
Yeah,
it was really weird. It wasn't long after. And then I had a boyfriend after that for a while, and we had a couple of menage a trois.
Yeah, menage a trois are great.
Where I was like, I really don't want to give you head. Let's have a threesome, and she can do it.
Liz, this is like a major cherry popping story.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, Darren, you got to top that. Pun fully intended.
This is a story of an out proud New York City woman dating a very closeted religious girl. I was dating a girl. I got set up with on a blind date. She was a bartender here at this New Orleans bar. And I'm not really good at like, I don't go into lesbian bars, like go hit on people. I was never really a blind. It was like, she's a bartending there tonight. I want to introduce you. I think you'll both find each other attractive. Come have drinks with me at this bar. So it was like a setup, but also with a friend. So that way, if it didn't work out, like I was kind of cool.
Was it a straight girl setting you up with this girl?
No, it was a bisexual girl setting us up.
Okay. All right. It's a little better.
She was dating one of my friends at the time. This was like back when I had like a lesbian group of friends. So she was dating one of my friends at the time. And this girl's name was Evan, which is also the name of my brother. So I was like, okay, well, that's kind of rough. Like, I don't like know how to do that. But like, okay, that's fine. No, I also think the name Evan is very hot.
I think I love androgynous names.
But
yeah,
Evan,
I think that's hot.
Evan and Darren as a girl couple name is like a little wild. Like even Andy, I think, made fun of me. He's like, really? Evan and like, really, Darren? Like, Jesus. So anyway, this was in 2014. So this was 7 years ago now. So I'm removed of it now to not have as much emotion about it as I did for quite some time. But met her, hit it off, got drunk at the bar. She was over serving me. We went home, we hooked up, and we were talking ever since. And we started to date.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, like I grew up in a suburb of Manhattan. I have very progressive parents. I didn't really have a tough coming out story. I was very accepted within my group. I'm also not religious, which can be helpful. She was from Alabama and she was a Southern Baptist. Okay. Ugh. And I'll put it this way, like to some extent, I'm an atheist. And so she knew that. And so I was like, if this person is willing to sort of date me, She can't be so strict about her views,
right?
Because she's dating. Like in my mind, I was like, maybe she just was. She's like this as a kid. She's still under her parents, kind of. She was an actress, bartender, you know, kind of under her parents' control. Like clearly, she's open minded enough to A, hook up with a woman and hook up with an atheist Jewish woman. Okay, so like
clearly, I thought, maybe a little bit more progressive than what you all are probably thinking right now. And so we had lots of talks about religion. She'd give me items to read and I would read them. And then I would come back.
What do you mean items to read?
Like, she gave me like this miracle book once, right? About like all these like medical marvels like that happened in these like these ways. I swear to God. She gave me this book and she was just like, how can you not believe in God given this?
And I am all for people, by the way, believing. I believe in God. I think I believe in God. I'm all for people believing in God and being queer. 100%. All for it.
And that's like, yes. And like, for me, I'm not here to say like, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're this and that. It's just like, God, for me, God isn't a thing. Just like scissoring. It's just not a thing to me, you know, like it's a God and scissoring something. So she would give me things about these like medical marvels about this guy who, you know, prayed and then whatever. And I said to her, I was like, listen, you know, I was like, really interesting book. I didn't want to insult this person, but I was like,
I said, really interesting book.
But you know what bothers me as someone who was, I majored in neuroscience and psych and like I wanted to be a therapist and I'm a science person. I was like, what bothers me is there's no footnotes. This doesn't trace back to any sort of evidence. Anyone could have written this. Like, you know, The Giving Tree was a great book too, but like that was a cartoon and that like, I wouldn't say like this actually happened. Like this boy, like anyone can write anything at any given time and that doesn't make it true. So my point was like, there's no footnotes here. There's no citations. Like, maybe, you know, so we would have these interesting arguments. She never called me anything bad. She respected me. We're dating.
Uh-huh.
So much so that it's at that point where I was like 4 months in where it's like, I kind of slipped saying I love you on the phone one time. You know, you guys ever do this?
Cute.
It's like, it happens, you know, and you're kind of like, okay, like love you. And I'm like, oh my God, I just told this girl I loved her. And I knew that her parents were Alabamans, Southern Baptist. Okay. So I knew that I was not going to be gay, Jewish, atheist. Like it was not hitting any of the criteria here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was like, I love you and I want to come out for you. And I really want to like make this relationship a thing. And by that time, you know, I really like, I don't know if it was love now so much as lust, but it was going in that direction for sure for me. And for Christmas, she had gone home. She was leaving to go home to Alabama. And, you know, she was like, this is the trip. I'm going to come out. This is going to be great. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I cannot wait to kind of, you know, and this was probably my naivete because and this is a privileged position that I kind of had it very easy. And so I kind of thought, you know, mistakenly, like, how could this, like, you know, parents love their kids. If you love your kid,
and you were not coming home with her.
Coming home with her.
Okay.
In fact, so much so I had to go to work that day left early, which is kind of important to story. She left early. We were sleeping over. She left early. I remember kissing her goodbye. I was like, good luck. And then I had to go to work that day. So we were in the office later that day, fast forward to like 5 p.m. I'm handing out these gifts and I get a call from Evan. And I was like, this is it. I was like, she's going to tell me literally in my mind, I couldn't have imagined it going any other way. Mm-hmm. And I pick up the phone. Granted, I'm at work and I take my career very, very seriously. So I do not like to mix professional and personal. So I get a call and it was Evan. And I was like, oh my God, babe, how did it go? Like I pick up the phone, like, babe, how did it go? And she's like, is this Darren? And I said, yes. And she said, this is Evan's mom. Mm. And I was like, great. In my mind, literally, I'm like, great. This mother wants to meet me because she knows I'm this amazing and this cool. I know. This is my little naive, stupid brain. I get it. This is all on me. And she was just like, if you talk to my daughter ever again, I don't know what Evan told you, but I live in Alabama. We can have guns here and I have a shotgun and I know where you live. And if you talk to my daughter again, I will ram this shotgun down your throat and blow your head off.
Are you serious?
And I was like, can I step up? Can you just hold on one moment? I got to step outside. So I went to go step outside and I said, excuse me? And she was like, yeah, you fucking faggot. And I said, and Liz knows this, I said, and knowing me, I feel like it's funny kind of now in this really heartbreaking, I said, I think you're underestimating the happiness I bring into your daughter's life.
The most daring response.
Good for you.
I wasn't going to like argue back or cry. You know, I was just kind of like, I think you're being a little irrational about this. And I think if you love your kid, you'd see that she's pretty happy with me. And she said, Evan, get on the line right now and tell this faggot you choose me over her. And I hear Evan in the background just bawling her eyes out. So sad. Ugh. Just like, of course, because here she is. Not only does she have to tell me this, but like, you know, she doesn't make a lot of money. Her parents are clearly helping her out. She's there. She could have felt threatened for her life. And I'm not surprised if she did, because this her own fucking mother, who apparently loved her, is threatening this girl's life. And this Evan, and she said, and she got on the phone and she was like, Darren, I choose my mom over you. Like, never talk to me ever again. Like, I choose her over you. Bawling. And I knew that she had to do that. I don't blame her. I do not begrudge her. I do not blame her. She was in a precarious situation that her life could have been threatened by her own parents. In that case, do what you need to do to survive. Like, do what you need to do to be healthy for you. I would never put someone in a dangerous situation. And hung up and never heard from her ever again.
Never again.
Never again.
Did you text her? Recall or anything?
She wrote me an email about 5 seconds after that saying, I'm so sorry. And then that was it. And she blocked me on all forms of social media. I can't email her. I can't text her. I can't do anything. And it's been 7 years. And, you know, it took a while, I think, for me to kind of get over that and like get over the closure. It affected me gravely. Even though I was out, you know, I felt bad for her. I could go back to work at Bravo for Andy Cohen and be out and go do a scissoring podcast with Liz and go fuck women and do whatever the fuck I wanted. And she couldn't. So I felt really horrible for her. And it took a very long time to kind of get over it. But here I am.
I was just going to say, Evan, if you're listening.
I can't. Yeah, Evan, if you're listening, call me. Call me. I won't hold it against you.
Hopefully. She is now like living whatever life is right for her. I
no chance,
so.
But yes. I mean, I hope so too.
Wait, you
I
know what?
Doubt,
7
but
years
yes.
is a long time.
It's true.
And I'm grateful to be able to, you know, tell queer stories. And sometimes I think it isn't for those of us who live in liberal cities, right? Or come from fabulous accepting families, but it's for the Evans of the world who are still dealing with shit. And what we do hopefully makes them feel less alone.
I hope her mother finds peace, because if you have that much hate in your heart, I'm not saying something's wrong with you, just something is wrong, where it's like you are not asking the right questions of yourself. You are not living your life. If you hate someone who hasn't violated your rights at all, I think that you have problems of your own. And that's all I'll say about it.
When did you come out to your mother?
I came out when I was 19 to my mother. It was probably my early sophomore year of college.
And what'd she say? How'd she react?
My mother wasn't as incredible as she is now, but not in a bad way. It was just kind of like, I think it was more of like a getting used to the idea. You know, to be honest with you, her first reaction was, well, I want grandkids. But and then I said, well, mom, I said, well, for one, it's about what I want. And two, if I was infertile but straight, is that any different? Or what if I didn't want kids? And my mom was immediately like, you're right. It was a natural reaction. Like,
Darren speaks truth to power. We know that from the phone call.
Yes. Well, I mean, I will say, like, I do think a little bit on my side of it with my mother, because she's absolutely like fucking incredible now. Mm. And she was then. It's just, I think parents have sort of this idea of their kids and they have to mourn that idea and get on board. And sometimes we want them to be immediately okay with it. And we forget that as parents, which I am not, I imagine she had to just get over that idea. You know what I mean? It wasn't a bad idea. It's just a different idea than what she was expecting.
I think our moms just get scared. Like, whoa, this is not what I thought. What's going to happen to you? Your life is going to be hard. That's what I hear all the time.
Exactly.
Speaking of Mama Bear, as you know, on this show, right, we call somebody's mother. And Liz, you told me right away that your mother was like MIA for this. Not going to happen.
Well, actually, I called Darren on the side. I was like, so my mom is off. 1,000% not being recorded on the internet. Like, there is no way.
I think my mom was like, meh. Yeah.
Like, I was like, if there's anyone that's going to have to do this, it's going to be you and your lovely mother. And like, my mom, there is no way.
All right, Darren, let's call your mother. Susan, is that Susan?
This is me.
Hi, Susan.
Meet Liz. Liz, this is my mother, Susan.
Hi.
Yes.
Oh my God. Thank you for listening.
Where are you coming from? Where do you live?
In Montclair, New Jersey.
In the house I was born and raised in, actually. My parents have been there for quite some time.
That's correct.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us.
No problem.
So Darren told us a story.
I shared the story with them, mom, of my ex-girlfriend, Evan, and her mother. My mom's aware of that, for sure.
What did you say when... Darren told you that this crazy mother essentially threatened her?
Well, as I recall, I was in my office, and because Darren and I work close to each other, relatively speaking, in Manhattan. And she called me. I was willing to go over there and do anything. I was frightened because there was this crazed human being who said she's going to shoot my daughter. It terrified me. It truly terrified me.
I told you she mama bear'd. She was. I told them they were so protective and like, I will fuck shit up, but in your nicer, much more graceful way than you.
I mean, fortunately, this woman was in Alabama or wherever.
Yeah, wherever.
But the day that she was going to come and clear out her daughter's apartment, I feared for Darren's life and really didn't want Darren to be even in Manhattan that day. I really feared for her life because who knows? I mean, this woman could actually be crazy and gun carrying.
Do you remember, Susan, when Darren came out to you?
I don't think Darren ever came out to me. I think she just, you know, we would have a lot of her friends come for dinner. We were very open about, you know, having her friends come. And, you know, she was bringing home boys in high school. And then she was bringing home girls in the latter part of college. But it was never the sit down with saying,
really,
I have to tell you something. It just kind of happened organically. She brought home different people.
Did you have a sense that Darren was gay before the people started coming?
No, not really. No, not really. I mean, she had a very serious boyfriend who practically lived with us. Who she at one time said, you know, I'm going to marry him. You know how teenagers are.
Darren, how long did you date this boy?
4 years. And he's still a friend of mine. I love him. He's amazing. I have nothing bad to say about him. My family talks about him all the time. Like, he's like a great guy. He's just a great dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Great dude. 4 years I dated him.
Okay. So,
when your daughter says, you know, I'm going to marry this person, you don't think.
No.
Okay.
Is she
and then
lying?
A friend of my son's, actually, who I had dinner with, she said to me, you know, dating girls in college, most of the girls are superstars. And superstars only want to date other superstars. So they're not dating below them. And she told me, she said, you know, most superstars in college date other women. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're gay.
Did you approach Darren and say, like, I know there are women, you know, coming to the house in the latter part of college, which is just, I just get this like image of like this escalator of lesbians coming to my class.
No, she was very discerning.
But
thanks,
Mom. Did you approach her and say like, hey, is there something you want to tell me?
No, I think I don't remember you ever telling me specifically. It just became clear.
I mean, I definitely was like, this is my girlfriend, Regina.
Right.
But I wasn't like, by the way, Mom, I'm a lesbian. I never said that to her.
It was just, okay.
Of now, I could say it to her. Right. And she would describe it that like that.
Did you ever have a moment where you wished Darren would have been what you anticipated she would be?
Well, you know, I think every parent, you know, you raise your children and you get to know them in a certain way. And you think, okay, they're going to become this or they're going to, you know, so you're going along this path that then somehow veers and takes a different direction.
Unexpected.
So, you know, you have to think about it and process it, but it's not, you know, it's nothing to get angry about. It's something more that you have to think about. Okay, what I thought before was not the pathway we're going down now, but we're veering.
Darren, do you want kids?
I do, actually, because I'm with the right partner. I think that I would really enjoy that with my partner I have now. Yeah. In fact, I'm thinking about freezing my eggs before the end of the year, shockingly enough.
I have yet
to tell my mother that.
I think she'd be a fun parent.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear Darren's going to freeze her eggs?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I knew, you know, we had kind of talked about this in general. So, you know, the timing maybe is a surprise, but otherwise, no. You know, she's getting older.
Yeah, I mean, Darren, these eggs are not going to freeze themselves. Susan, I'm so happy that you got to be here. Thank you for making time.
Oh, thank you very much.
If it's not one thing, it's your mother. Thank you for listening, my family. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother and follow me directly at Nikki Levy. We are so happy to be here with you. Do us a favor, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. It really, really helps us get the word out and, you know, get more people listening to Don't Tell My Mother, which, of course, that's what we want. We want to create a bigger family here. We love you. Mwah.
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Kungan. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.